Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Five Rounds Podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and there was no UFC event this past weekend, so I'm going to discuss the previous one, UFC Fight Night Brunson versus Till, and give you a little bit of a deep dive into the fallout and the financials from that event. So let's quickly go through some of the results. The main card started with the debut of one of the most hyped fighters coming out of the UK in a long, long time, Paddy the Baddy Pimlet. This is a kid who was offered a UFC contract twice before he recently joined the company, once in 2016 and once in 2018. Both times he told the UFC that he didn't feel he was ready for the big stage. He didn't feel he was a rounded enough fighter, which is an interesting take. Most fighters would have absolutely jumped at the chance, maybe joined the UFC when they probably weren't ready, just because it's the UFC, it's the biggest show in town. But props to Paddy for standing by his viewpoint and realizing that yeah, he wasn't ready, and he would most likely end up derailing his career. And he took on a very tough fight for your first fight in the company, in Luigi Vandramini, but he was able to weather a bit of a storm and come out with the first round knockout. Really impressive performance, and really made a name for himself in 4 minutes. Then we had Khalil Rountree winning in controversial circumstances, I suppose. He beat Medescus Bacorcus with the oblique kick, which just essentially crippled Modestus, and he gets the TKO via leg kick. Now, a lot of drama on MMA social media and in the news about whether oblique kicks should be banned, and Khalil having to defend the use of the move, a move that was pretty much popularised by Jumbo Jones. But Modestus has come out in defence of Khalil Rountree and saying, no, it's a absolutely illegal move. It's a great way to finish a fight. Says, and props to Khalil for being able to pull it off. Hopefully that'll quash the talk of it being banned, because at the end of the day, it's not ballet. You are looking to win the fight as quickly and decisively as possible, and that move absolutely will do that. Can it be called a career ender? Sure, but then so could an armbar that leads to a break, or so could the submissions that Hector Lombard used to keep all of the ankle picks and things like that. So yeah, I think there's certainly a place for it if you can have that weapon in your arsenal. I think it's a great weapon to have. Going into the third match on the main card, Alex Morono taking a fight on very, very late notice and picking off the decision win. Very back and forth match, really interesting fight, and a great win for Alex Morono. Then we had two of my local boys, Tom Aspinall in the heavyweight division, training for about 25 miles away from me in Salford. He got the first round KO of Sergey Spivak to really add to his roster of people he's put away, the likes of Andrei Arlovsky. But what impressed me more with Tom, rather than the finish, is the his attitude towards his future in the UFC. Many people who gather up wins after wins like Tom has done, they will be looking beyond opponents and looking to maybe kind of quickly climb that ladder, get a top five. And we've seen, especially in the heavyweight, that people quickly reach a level and then are knocked back down, and then there's kind of almost a bottleneck in the top five, where essentially everybody's beating each other, and there's no viable contenders. We've seen it with Curtis Blades, who was risen to the top, then got beat by someone just below him and dropped back down. Same with Alistair Overeem. Derek Lewis, for example, got a title shot pretty recently, clearly wasn't in the position or wasn't ready for that. The only person who's really broke through that is Cyril Gagne, and he's only got the title shot because obviously Dana wanted a title shot on a pay-per-view, and the heavyweight champion wasn't ready to do that. So yeah, I do like his Tom Aspinall's attitude. He's not looking to go from 15 to 5. He's willing to climb the ladder, spot by spot, getting better, beating better opponents, bit by bit, and really kind of earn that title shot. So yeah, I've got to give him props for that. And then going into the main event, and yeah, it's another disappointment for Darren Till. Still such a young kid, only 28 years old, but he's quickly getting to that stage where he's almost feeling like a gatekeeper now, where he's incredibly good, but when it comes down to the important matches, the big dance, he lets himself down, and he again showed a massive weak point in his fight game with his wrestling, going up against an elite level wrestler, someone whose bread and butter is wrestling in Derek Brunson. You would think that Darren Till's focus would be on at least having a rudimentary wrestling game, so he can at least combat some of the takedowns and give Derek Brunson something to think about. Unfortunately, Darren Till, whether he's surrounded by people who are just telling him what he wants to hear, whether he's ignoring the advice of his coaches, he essentially went in with the Till mentality of old. I will force the fight that I want. And unfortunately, when you're coming up against a wrestler who can take you down at will, you could be the best on the feet in striking that the world has ever seen, but you can't do that off your back and everybody's the same size when they're on the floor. So unfortunately for Darren Till, those lessons clearly haven't been learned from previous fights, and it's back to the drawing board. The issue is, he's every fight he loses, it takes away a bit of his mystique. Other fighters are realizing he has gaps in his game and are going to exploit them, so he really needs to plug that hole and really learn some wrestling in the very, very near future. Otherwise, he's not going to get any higher, in whether it's in middleweight, whether it's at welterweight, he's not going to get any higher than he is now, which is a shame, because he's a really great bloke, a really good fighter, and charismatic enough to carry a UFC title. It's just, has he got the skills to do so? Time will tell. So let's now dive into the financials. So UFC Vegas 36, Brunson versus Till, it's actually the lowest payout of a card since UFC 33, which was headlined by Uriah Hall and Sean Strickland. The compliance pay, the venom pay, the uniform pay, as it's known, was $130,000. Total payout, including that pay to fighters, was $1.46 million. And that's a lot of that is bunched up through quite a small number of fighters. In fact, there's only six fighters who got a six-figure payout. So we'll start with Julian Arosa. He fought and beat Charles Jourdain. He pulled $30,000 base, $30,000 win bonus, and $6,000 for sponsorship to draw $66,000. Jack Shaw, another UK star, got a victory over Ludovic Shaolinan. His contract is for 36 win, 36 base, and because he's very new to the UFC, he only got 4,500 sponsorship from Venom, so he pulled 76,500. The first loser in the top 10, Jeon Young Kim, who lost to Molly McCann. She pulled 30,000 for base, but also got 50,000 for a performance bonus, 6,000 for sponsorship, so she draws $86,000. Paddy Pimblett, on his debut, knocked it absolutely out of the park. 20,000 win, 20,000 base, 50,000 performance, and 4,000 for his debut compliance pay, which means he leaves Vegas with $94,000. A good payday for essentially 4 minutes work. Great stuff there for Paddy. Khalil Roundtree Jr., who got that oblique kick victory over Modestus Bukauskas, he pulled 50,000 base and 50,000 win, and because of his tenure in UFC, he gets 11,000 for the sponsorship, which means he pulls $111,000. Then next, Molly McCann, with that victory over the previously mentioned Jeon Young Kim. 30,000 win, 30,000 base, 50,000 for the performance bonus, 6,000 sponsorship deal, so $116,000 for Molly McCann there. Breaking into the top four, Tom Aspinall, with his very quick victory over Sergey Spivak. He got 36 win and base, 50,000 for performance, and 4,500 for his compliance pay, which is a grand total of $126,500 for Big Tom. Alex Morono didn't do bad for a last minute fight. He got the victory over David Zawada, 72,000 base, 72,000 win bonus, and 11,000 for sponsorship, which meant he comes away on $155,000. Not a bad day at the office there for Alex Morono. Second is Darren Till. He's got the biggest contract on the card in terms of base salary. Even though he lost to Derek Brunson, he still drew $150,000 base salary, $11,000 for a sponsorship deal, so he pulled $161,000. And then the highest paid by quite a margin, Derek Brunson, who again beat Darren Till there in the main event. His contract was 100,000 base, 100,000 for the win, 16,000 for the Venom sponsorship deal. So he pulls $216,000. So yeah, that's it from me here. I will be back next week with UFC Smith versus Ryan Spann. Anthony Smith, Lionheart, will be back fighting at lightweight. Not a lot is known about the rest of the card. That's pretty much the only main card fight that's been announced so far. UFC leaving it pretty late to bulk that card out, but we have got some prelims of Nathan Maness versus Tony Graveler, Dakota Bush versus Zhu Rong, Gustavo Lopez is taking on Haile Alatyng. So definitely tune in next week for that, and definitely keep your ears peeled here on Visionaries Global Media, here on Radio Techers, and here on the Chair Shot, where there's plenty of amazing content for you fill your day. We're working very, very hard between the teams to bring the very best of content to you guys, so definitely stick around and check out that content. But that's all from me. I'll speak to you next week, and that is the end.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.